The second reading is from Acts chapter 3, verses 11 to 20. While the healed man clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's Portico, utterly astonished. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah appointed for you, that is Jesus, who must remain in heaven until the time of universal restoration that he announced long ago through his holy prophets." This is the word of the Lord.
Whenever I read that story, I go back to that my nine-year-old self, First Baptist Lethbridge, in that chorus. Peter and John went to pray. They met a layman on the way. Do you know this one? He asked for alms and put out his palms, and this is what Peter did say. "Silver and gold have I none. What I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And then there was actions. He went walking and jumping and praising God. Walking and jumping and praising God. You can join me. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And I think, oh, I'd love to go back to my nine-year-old self and ask some more critical thinking questions. What are alms? The lyricist got away with such a lucky one there. Alms rhymes with palms, so easy. Peter, you cheapstake. Like, you got nothing to give to this person? And healing from this childhood disability, is it that easy? And what's in a name? Apparently, there's a lot in a name. You might have other questions for this story. And today on our annual healing and prayer service, I thought since we'd been in these stories of Acts that this would be a good story for us to try to live into and live out of, even as we think about being healed ones. And as I said earlier in the service, going out as healed ones, week after week after week, as the people of God. Yes, Peter and John went to pray. And in today's timeline in the story, this is probably 2 or 3 weeks after that Pentecost Sunday experience where the flames of fire came upon the disciples and they began to speak in new languages and then go forth into the streets proclaiming the good news of this Jesus who had risen. This Jesus who had died, but then had come back to life, and now power and presence of the God Spirit was here available to all, every generation, receiving the Spirit poured upon them. Now remember, Peter and John are still God-fearing, Yahweh-worshipping Jews. And so they still pray at the synagogue and honor the appointed times of prayer at their local church. And so we read that they approached the temple courts, and this familiar face, a man in his 40s, crippled from birth, is there. His friends or his family members would carry him to his begging post each day so that he could ask for handouts. And he's heard of all the kerfuffle about these disciples of Jesus and quite possibly recognizes James and John. And so he cries out to them, thinking he too might have a chance on this magical whatever stuff is going on with these new people of the way. Alms for the poor, the forsaken, the downtrodden, alms, he cries out. Peter and John make a beeline towards the beggar. Look at us. We have no silver or gold, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Peter takes hold of the right forearm of this beggar, and he jumps to his feet. Imagine, he stands. His disabled ankles are suddenly firm and strong. He stretches. He probably reaches for the sky. And we read that he jumps and leaps and praises God. Perhaps he uses one of the psalmist's praise. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You've taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. The crowd is gobsmacked. They're amazed in wonder. Other shouts of joy fill the air. Perhaps other beggars in the crowd are saying, heal me, heal me, pick me, pick me. The beggar hugs his friends and family and then clings to Peter and John as they attempt to make their way into the inner temple courts. It's apparent, just like on Pentecost Sunday, that this crowd is longing for an explanation. What does this mean? What does this mean? So Peter jumps up on an elevated stage in the temple grounds, waves his arms, motions to the crowd, friends and fellow Israelites, listen. It's not us. This is the work of our God, your God, my God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who sent his son and servant Jesus, the holy and righteous one whom you rejected. You acted in ignorance. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. This man is made strong, healed by faith in the name of Jesus. Don't turn to us, turn to God. Repent, turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And so we turn our hearts to God this morning. We repent. That's why our confession prayer is such an important part of the rhythm of our worship service week after week. We confess that our sins wipe us out. But we pray that our sins may be wiped out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And today at our service of healing and prayer, we're very intentional about continuing this Christian practice, proclaiming healing power in the name of Jesus. We are not the healers. This is not magic. This is not a prayer formula. If we do this, then we will get this. But we do have an opportunity to take up our vocation as healers, to join Jesus' ongoing ministry of compassion, the ministry of relief, the ministry of restoration, praying that the healings and blessings that we receive would be this real-life manifestation of the Jesus life that we then carry into the world. So this morning, come, not because you're obligated, but you are invited to come this morning. And be assured that this is not faith healing magic that we're proposing today, but this is us as the community of Christ, as brothers and sisters who are united by one Lord, one baptism, one Christ. We're caring and praying for one another. We're serving under the influence of Jesus, sharing his presence through word and deed. So this morning we have symbols. We have lit the Christ candle, reminding us of Jesus, light of the world, here, available for us. We have water in the blue bowl, symbolizing our baptism, the washing of sins, available this morning to all of us. Perhaps there's something that you're seeking forgiveness for. Perhaps there's something that you need to let go of. Is there someone you need to forgive? You have the opportunity this morning to come forward and put your hands in the bowl of water and perhaps put the sign of the cross on your forehead or your hand and allow Jesus to wipe away your sins, to wash you anew, to cleanse and forgive you so that you might go out to forgive others. We have oil